Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Tay Talks Positivity. This is your girl, Tay, ready to help you get your week started with some positive vibes and good energy. Now, this week's episode is a very touchy one. So before we get started, I do want to put out a trigger warning. This episode talks about abuse, more specifically, sexual abuse. Now, I know what you're thinking. How in the world does this topic have anything to do with positivity? I have one word for you though. Healing. Or even better yet, coping. In order for a wound to heal properly, sometimes we have to expose it and go through a little pain. And sometimes we actually never heal from some things that have hurt us. We just learn to cope and move on and live our lives the best way we know how. Sadly, but more often than we would like to admit, someone knows someone or someone is or has been a victim to sexual assault. And more often than we should have to admit, that person that is responsible for that assault is usually someone that the victim knows. In fact, 93% of those who are perpetrators of sexual assaults are known by their victims. 7% are strangers. And out of that 93%, 34% are actually family members, and 59% are acquaintances or people that the person actually knows in some form or fashion. According to studies conducted on RAIN.org, 1 in every 9 girls and 1 in every 20 boys under the age of 18 experience assault or sexual abuse, with 82% of the victims being females under the age of 18, with those being between the ages of 16 and 19 being 4 times more likely to be victims of rape, attempted rape, or sexual assault. All the victims under the age of 18, 2 out of 3 are between the ages of 12 to 17, which is 66%. And then the other 34% are under the age of 12. 35% of assault victims are 11 years old or younger, with about 40% of them being abused by older or larger children. Unfortunately, a lot of times the perpetrators get away with it because the victims are either scared to say something because they think no one will believe them, or they think that it's their fault that it happened to them in the first place. The person that assaulted them may have even made threats of violence toward them or their family members if they didn't keep what had happened to them to themselves. There are a few points I want to shine a light on while we have this discussion, but before I do, let me give you the backstory to how this topic ended up being something that I wanted to discuss on the show. The other day, I was watching this documentary on HBO. I think it was called Great Picture, Beautiful Life, something like that. Mind you, the name of the documentary didn't make any sense whatsoever. The documentary was about a young lady that decided after the death of her grandmother that she wanted to reveal the ugly truth about things that her grandfather had done. The grandfather was a chiropractor by trade, but he was also a pedophile. He would inappropriately touch his patients, and for some reason, a lot of his patients were kids. He even had patients that were as young as 4 years old. Why was a 4-year-old seeing a chiropractor? And then why was he allowed to see her without an adult being present in the room? One of the crazy parts was that he even touched his own daughter inappropriately. She said that she was laying face down on a chiropractor table when she was a kid. And if I'm remembering correctly, she said she was about 5 years old. She said that when she was laying there, she felt something rubbing up and down on her back. And when she turned around to look, she said that it was her father's penis. And if I'm not mistaken, she also said that there was a time when he got in a bathtub with her and admitted that he had touched her, and he claimed that she liked it. Like, this dude's mind was so sick. Years later, as his granddaughter was talking to him, he act like he still had no remorse for any of the things he'd done. The crazy part, even more, is that he even molested his own granddaughter, and he did it on more than one occasion. The crazy part is that the first time he did it, the girl's mother, which was his daughter, walked in on him and caught him in the act of doing it. For starters, why would you even leave your child in the care of somebody that violated you, somebody that you knew was a predator? And after catching him actually doing it, how would you think that him saying that he would never do it again was enough for you to continue to leave your child around him? Now, let's give her the benefit of the doubt because she claimed that she had spoken with her mother, who, let's put out there, was still with the father. And she made her mother promise to never leave her daughter alone with her father. Why did she think that that was enough to ensure that her daughter would be safe when she left her there while she went to work or while she decided she wanted to go out on a date or do whatever it is she wanted to do? Not to mention the fact that the man's wife, who was the girl's mother, knew what he had done, and she still stayed with him, and she still left children around him without them being in her presence. Now, before we bash the wife completely, they did say that he was very mean to her and he was abusive to her as well. I'm not sure if the abuse was physical, but verbally, yes, and emotionally, definitely. To the point where she was afraid to leave him, and it took decades before her daughter was even able to finally get her to leave and come with her. There were so many things that could have and should have been done to prevent a lot of the harm that this one man caused so many people. The whole situation had me thinking about some of the things that, as a culture, we don't talk about, and some of the things that we could prevent from ever happening. There are families that know of the one relative that don't nobody need to be leaving their kids around, but nobody's calling them out. Nobody's making sure that they're not left alone with the kids. I don't know if it's because you don't want to bring shame to the family or if it's just something that people just don't want to talk about. Even movies have shown how kids have been preyed upon by an older family member or a family member's friend or a significant other. And when that child told, they were either told that they were lying or that it was their fault for being grown and allowing a person to do what they did. Come on now. How sad is that? That this is an actual truth that goes on and families day to day. I know at some point everybody has heard of the saying, stranger danger. Growing up, we're taught this by our parents and we're taught this in school, and we teach the same thing to our kids and younger relatives in our family. But with 34% of abusers being family members and 59% being someone that the victim knows, why haven't we sat down and started having the talk with our kids about this very issue? Letting them know that all dangerous people are not just strangers, and that sometimes those dangerous people that can hurt us can be family members. And by letting them know this, we can take the first steps it takes to stopping generational curses. I know it's a tough topic and it's not easy talking to our kids about things, especially sex. So I know it's even harder to talk to them about sexual abuse. But we have to teach our kids the warning signs and how to speak up and come to us when something is bothering them or when somebody makes them feel uncomfortable. Pay attention to how they act when they're around certain family members. One thing about it, kids are brutally honest people. They will let you know if they don't like somebody. They'll let you know if they don't like something. And they'll definitely ask a million and one questions. I have no idea how many times kids I've taught or even my little cousins asked me if I was a boy. Back when I was a kid and growing up, I feel like having these kind of conversations with our parents just didn't exist. I'm not saying that they didn't talk about things with us. I'm just saying that the lines of communications between parents and their children have definitely come a long way since I was a kid. I look at the conversations that Shamira and Yasira have and some of the conversations that I may have with her as well, but more so the conversations that they have with each other. And I compare them with the conversations that I may have had with my parents or the conversations lack thereof that I had with my parents at her age. And they definitely never dived as deep in context to the conversations that Shamira and Yasira have with each other. A lot of the things that we've talked about with Yasira, I don't remember ever even touching base on some of those things with my parents. Like I said, I'm not saying that I probably couldn't have had those talks. They just never happened because neither party, myself included, felt like it was something that needed to or wanted to be spoken about. I can say that at least that's one thing that my generation is probably doing right. We've changed the dialogue of communication that we have with our kids, allowing them to feel comfortable to come to us and talk about things that we didn't feel comfortable going to and talking to our parents about. Going to our parents back in the day to have conversations about sex was the last thing that we ever thought of doing. Nobody wanted to sit down with their parents and have the birds and the bees talk, where the parents are just simply educating us on safe sex or educating us on sex altogether. So imagine the feeling of being abused sexually by someone and wanting to be able to let your parents know, but not being comfortable enough to go to them and have that conversation. That's a hard pill to swallow growing up. So that's one thing I can say I'm grateful that my generation has changed, because if somebody was to make Yasira feel uncomfortable, or if someone was to do something that she didn't like, or something that made her feel violated, I'm pretty sure, pretty close to 100%, that she would be comfortable enough to come to us, or at least go to Shamira and confide in her, so that that's not something that she's carrying, a burden that she feels like she has to carry on her own without having somebody to lean on in that type of situation. If there are any parents out there who don't have these kind of talks with your kids, I'm urging you to try to. You have no idea what a child who has been abused, whether mentally, physically, emotionally, sexually, any type of abuse, what that can do to a kid's mind, and what that can do when they have nobody that they feel safe enough to go to and confide in, especially somebody who that they feel will believe them in their story when they're telling them what's happened to them. Too much lately, I've been hearing or reading and seeing stories about kids who've committed suicide because they felt like they had nobody to go to. It breaks my heart to know that a child can be going through something that is hurting them so bad mentally, to the point where they decide that taking their own life is easier than being able to sit down and talk to their own parent. This subject is a very sensitive one for me, which is why I want to open up the email for parents or kids or anyone who feels like they don't have anyone that they can come to and vent, or anyone that they can come to for advice, or as a parent, how to navigate having these kind of discussions with your kids. I'm opening up the email for you guys to reach out and talk to me, because no one should feel like they have nobody to talk to or nobody to go to. Whether you just want to type out the email, you don't want a response, you just need to get it off your chest, or whether you want some advice and you just really have no one to go to. Some of us are single parents who don't have anybody that they can go to and ask for any kind of help. So if you or someone you know wants advice or just wants to vent, judgment free, you can send an email to taytalkspositivity@gmail.com. That's taytalkspositivity@gmail.com. And if you or anyone you know may be battling with thoughts of self-harm or suicide, dial 988. If no one else has told you today, just know that I love you and that I care. I know that today's discussion was a very serious, but strict, and a very, very much needed topic to touch base on. While I know we focus on positivity and try to only talk about things that are positive, I do want everybody to realize that the only way we can heal and actually try to live a positive lifestyle is by, like I've said in past episodes, you got to pull back the curtain and shed light on some dark issues in order to be able to move forward in a positive fashion. Parents, I'm challenging you this week to sit down and have those tough talks with your kids. Allow them to be 100% brutally honest with you without judging them, so that they know that they can come to you and have a safe place to be able to talk freely about what they're going through. We have to do this for the future generation of our family, and stop covering up for that family pedophile that's been touching kids or watching little kids or making little kids in the family feel uncomfortable. Pay attention to how your kids react when certain family members walk in the room or certain family friends come around, how they might not want to be around. We got to open our eyes to these kind of things so that our kids aren't walking around carrying burdens that they shouldn't be carrying at those ages. As always, I thank you all for tuning in with me every week and listening to Tay Talks Positivity. I ask that you continue to spread the word and share the podcast with somebody new each week so that we can continue to grow and learn from each other and with each other what it takes to live a positive lifestyle and take these negative things that may have happened to us in our lives and use them to bring something great into the world instead of just letting it sit there and harbor ill feelings. Until next time, this is your girl Tay. Remember, always affirm it, apply it, and achieve it.